Father, that is our prayer this morning as we come to your word. Lord God, continue to speak. I believe you spoke through Marty and Darlene and Reverend Hambrick, our time of worship, numerous things that you've pointed to and shown us in our heart. As we go to your word now, I ask that you would continue to do that, Lord God. Allow us to receive what you have for us and that you would get honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to be looking at verses 6 through 15, and we've been in a study of toolbox of faith, and I realize time is running away with us. How about this? You guys that have been around know me that I usually close 4 or 5 times. I'm only going to close twice today. How's that? Just because we're running a little bit of short of time. We've looked at the Christian life and looked at abundant living and looking at the Spirit of God working in our lives. We've looked at faith, and I believe you could take a whole year to look at the whole aspect and different aspects of faith. It seems like everything operates either out of our faith or out of our lack of faith. And then pretty much our faith is personal until it's tested. Then it becomes and is seen by everyone as we go through some of these different things. And this morning I want to talk about godly generosity. I want to talk about kindness, and I want to talk a moment about compassion. And please don't leave, because every time we seem like the pastor talks about generosity or talks about kindness, everyone kind of feels like the pastor is trying to talk about our money and the church's needs. But it's much bigger than that this morning. I wanna talk about the whole realm of generosity, the whole realm of kindness, the whole realm of being compassionate, and everyone playing a part in supporting the church, everyone playing a part in sharing the gospel, everyone sharing a part and being a part of God's blessings. It doesn't only happen in the money aspect of generosity. It generosity is not limited to our money. Can you say amen to that? Generosity is not limited just to our money and the things that we do with our money. It's not especially limited to our excess money. Say amen to that. In the fact that your generosity doesn't begin in your abundance, it begins in your faithfulness to God. It begins in your love of God, and it spills out into others. You don't have to wait till you have plenty to be a blessing. You don't have to wait till you have plenty to be generous. Lots of scripture shows us that generosity comes from the heart of God. Generosity comes out of caring for others, and that you cannot separate generosity from caring. Can you say amen? Think about it. You can't separate generosity from caring. You can't separate compassion from your resources, and you cannot separate your checkbook from being a blessing. Your checkbook is an indicator of what is important to you. If I was to take a look at your checkbook, and I'm not going to do that, but if I took a look at your checkbook, it would become very quickly known what is important to you. The Good Samaritan that's recorded in the book of Luke is one that saw the need, grabbed on to what he was watching happening. He had compassion for the person that he saw was in need, and then acted upon that compassion. You say amen? There's a point that sometimes you have to go past, I feel sorry for him, or I feel sorry for her. You have to go and you begin to act upon that. As a Christian, you have compassion for the lost. As a Christian, you share the gospel. If you looked at it, God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God the Father gave us the most generous gift he could ever give to us in his son Jesus Christ, and set the precedent on how we need to live out our lives until we have a sense of urgency, until we have a sense that we're not going to hold anything back. Society today, I believe, doesn't have a sense of urgency for the lost because they haven't a sense of urgency sometimes in their own life. Do you get where I'm saying this morning? That society has no sense of urgency for the lost because even believers have lost the part that says there's an urgency for Jesus. There's an urgency for God to do something in our lives. There's an urgency that only Jesus can fill. Until we understand it, until we know what compassion really means, until we really have eyes to see the lost, until we actually want to be obedient to the Lord and do what he's called us to do, until we operate in the will of God, we're only thinking about these things and we don't react. See, we wouldn't be a friendly church if we didn't visit people in the hospital. We wouldn't be a friendly church if we weren't meeting needs. We wouldn't be a friendly church if we weren't sharing the good news and being an encouragement and being involved in people's lives more than just on Sunday morning. It would be limited. We would be a church going after people. We would be a church going after and trying to reach the community. We become a friendly church once we start to get involved in their lives, once we see what is going on and we open ourselves up to be a part of that. If you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to start at verse 6 and read down to 15. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through your generosity will result in thanksgiving of God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace of God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gifts. God loves a cheerful giver. When's the last time that you said, "Praise the Lord, the ushers are coming"? When's the last time that you considered it a privilege to give back what God has given you? See, I think we serve a great God because God allows us to keep 90% of his blessings and give back 10% back to his church. The government wants to take 20% and there's no blessings that come with it. If you are only giving of your abundance, you will miss the blessings that come from sacrifices. Can you say amen? If as believers, we need to learn the lesson that we cannot outgive God. I always say that God has a bigger shovel. You can't outgive God. But I also believe that the prosperity teachers that tell you that whatever you give to God, he's going to double or triple, I believe they're taking that out of context. See, God has the bigger shovel. God can do blessings, but God can show it and do it in many other ways besides just money. He promises to bless us. He doesn't promise that everything that we give will be doubled and tripled when it comes to money. I believe that as we learn this lesson, God begins to pour out these these blessings to us. You see that the scripture, and I won't read it again, but you see that generosity and godly generosity are two different things. Kindness and godly kindness are two different things. Love and godly love are two different things. Generosity, by definition, is this: the quality of being kind and generous, giving your attention, time, abilities, money, and compassion freely to others. And here would be an example that I would say for generous. You're walking down the street and you see a beggar on the street, and you have a generous heart, and you begin to give him a dollar, knowing that you will never see him again, knowing that it's a one-time thing. But a godly generosity would be finding out why he or she is a beggar, and if there was something else that you could do. A kindness example would be for you knowing that somebody is hurting and has gone through some pain, and you offer up a card. That would be kindness. Godly kindness would be following up that card with a phone call or showing up at the door saying, "Is there anything else I can do for you?" Allowing yourself to be available, to be a servant, to make yourself available in any way that is feasible for you. An example of love would be the kind of physical love, the intimate love, the showing and being participants in being happy. And as long as it was good and as long as both people were participating, you would express your love and be happy with this. Godly love would be someone going through surgery, someone with a terminal situation, somebody with Alzheimer's, somebody with special needs, someone that would be in urgent care that goes beyond the realm of give and take. It would be on the side that you would be willing to give, knowing that there would not be much coming back in your way. The scriptures tells us, because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel. The apostle Paul encourages generosity to become an act of worship. Did you see where that's going? It becomes an act of worship. Because you are generous, because you love the Lord, it will filter down to those that you come across. You are kind because you love the Lord and you want to see others receive that same kindness. You love because God loved us so much, you want to pass it on. Galatians 5:22 tells us, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." See, good people have some of these gifts, but they're limited. But if we really want to experience the gift of the Spirit, if we really want to see the fruit of the Spirit active in our lives, then these things have to come from God working through us. You say amen to that? The apostle Paul in the scripture calls these the lovely things. Tells us and shows us that it's not easy to be a godly giver, because our fleshly desires, our sin nature, and all of these things that cause us to want to be hoarders or to be greedy and take everything for our own selves has to be broken by the Spirit of God working in our lives. We can have the love of man, and we can go into a whole sermon about the Greek word eros that talks about a physical love that's satisfied, and as long as you're satisfied, you're going to stay there. As long as you don't feel cheated, you won't cheat. The other side of love is phila, the kind of love that we get the word Philadelphia, the brotherly love. It's kind of those fuzzies that most people have. And see, I don't understand that sometimes, because how do you love someone one day and the next day you're throwing them under the bus? How do you love somebody or say that you love somebody, and a week later you're in a relationship with someone else? That person has been replaced, and you see that the love of God, the agape love of God, is the kind of love that don't quit on us. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that God doesn't give up on us? Aren't you glad, because we're some tough cookies at times, that God doesn't give up on us? Aren't you glad that he endures the hardship as a soldier of Christ? And it's the kind of love that realizes that God loves us. And it's a way that we can forgive. It's a way that we can exemplify and live out Christ. It's a way to give back in every single area of our life, from finances all the way to servanthood. So let me try to pull this together. And I've never talked so fast in my life. Let me pull this together. The things that have happened to this church in the last several months, the things that have happened to my wife and the things that have happened to my mother in these last few months has made me realize some things. Has made me realize some things on how I operate as pastor of this church. But more importantly, the Lord has shown me through these things that can be in my life. Things that are going on in my life. And see, I don't know, maybe you'll get this, maybe you're not there, or you've been there and you forgot, or however. But sometimes we blame God for the things that we can't change. We blame God for the things that we can't change, because if we could, we would change them. But through these times that I've had, I'm seeing that the Lord lets these trials come in our lives as a teaching moment to draw us closer to Him. To draw us closer. So some of the things that I've realized since Becky has been diagnosed with that cancer word, and like Reverend Hamburg said, maybe you can relate to some of these things. But through all of this, I've been more grateful to God than I ever have. I mean... every part of me is grateful for God for everything that He's given me and is giving me. There's nothing that I wouldn't do for my wife. But it made me realize, how much more does God love us? How much more does God love us when we can think of a human person and we understand that God loves us that much, that would go to the extent that He did to reach out to us? Then I thought about my mother waking up after 4 days of being unresponsive. And see, I don't care what the doctor said, I believe that's a miracle. Even if God only lets her be here for a short time and would take her tomorrow, I believe that it's a miracle that God has performed and is doing. And every moment becomes precious. And every moment just reminds me of how fast the calendar is approaching. Do you say amen to that? Anybody else know what I'm talking about? That the time seems to move so fast that you can't even get it on the calendar and it's up against you. It's right there. Every moment that I spent in the surgical waiting room with my son and a few colleagues that came and got around me, that means more to me than I could ever imagine. Now get where I'm coming from. As a pastor that has been in surgical waiting rooms, as a pastor that has seen, heard on people's faith and carries those burdens, God had to show me something in the surgical room that I could apply to my heart, that I grabbed onto every moment. That through this period has taught me that we need each other. That we can't do these things on our own. And the people that are struggling and floundering and they're lost without Christ are in the same boat. They just don't know they need the help. And they don't know the resources that are available from a God that loves them. So how does this relate to generosity, kindness, and compassion? Once you realize what God has done, there's nothing that you'll hold back from Him. There's nothing that He won't do for you. When you realize that you can't outlove God, you can't outgive God, you realize that how much He's forgiven you, that He just constantly comes back and brings you His love and that He opens a door to allow His presence. Once you grab that, all of these other things fall into place. All of these other things become secondary to your relationship with Him. And there's nothing that you would want to get between you and your God. You will desire to be obedient to the Lord. You have no problem giving once you understand how much God has given us. Kindness becomes a way of life instead of a one-time thing. See, I could throw a beggar money knowing that I don't have to deal with him or her ever again. But kindness is not a one-time thing. It's a lifestyle. Compassion will happen because you're being sensitive to the things that God is saying to you and showing it to others. You will not be judging people on what they don't do, but you are wanting above all else to please the Lord and make sure you're doing what He wants you to do. What would this community look like if we began showing the community the compassion of the Lord? What acts of kindness could you do today for someone knowing that they will not and don't have to give you something in return? That you just decide today you're going to bless someone. If everyone that calls Rosedale home would tithe and share the gospel and share their story, like Darlene was saying, and share their blessings with people that God brings into their path, how many people would be blessed this week? How many people would be restored? How many people would be fighting through these things, and now all of a sudden they wouldn't have someone else to answer to, but they would be pointed in the way of Jesus. If we were sensitive and actually looking for people who we could bless, actually looking for people who are hurting, and we would reach out to them. See, most of the time it doesn't cost you anything. It might, and are you willing to give up the cost if it costs you something? How many people would be changed if we would just change our attitude? Don't say amen, say oh me, because that's all of us at times. How many people would be blessed if our attitude would be changed? Instead of negative and doubting, we become, in the power of the Holy Spirit, positive people. People of full life. People that would be willing to get involved. Could God use those kinds of people? Could God get honor and glory? Closing number one. Generosity, kindness, and compassion is a heart issue. It's a heart issue. See, because you can, and in fact, W.H. Plummer says this, he who is not liberal with what he has does deceive himself when he thinks he would be liberal if he had more. See, if you can't give of your little, you're not going to give much. You hear people say, well, if I win the lottery, I would give this and this and this to such charities. No, they wouldn't. Not if they're not a giver. Not if they're not sensitive to the things that are going on in people's life. Generosity is a characteristic of a person that is discipled by Christ. I choose this day to be a blessing. I choose this day to put on the helmet of hope before I even walk out of the door. I choose this day to have a positive attitude and not a negative one. I choose this day, and it's been going on all morning. God has this. I choose this day that God has it, and I can make it because God has it. I will go and do the things other people won't do, because I realize that God makes a way where there seems to be no way. I will be thankful today because I realize in one moment my entire life could be changed. I believe some people are hiding and playing hide and seek with the Lord, and we have to realize that one day Jesus is going to say that He's ready or not, here I come. And we want to be found faithful. The theme of the district is presence matters most. Presence of God in my life. Presence of God in your life. Because of that, I will bless someone today. Because of that, someone is not no longer, that doesn't sound, that's not good English right there. no one is invisible. Because today, I choose to allow God to work through me. Can you say amen to that this morning? God is good. And I didn't know what my brother was going to share about the district call to ministry, but there is exciting things going on in our district. God is moving. God is doing tremendous things. We are hearing some great things. And my prayer, it's right here in Rosedale too, that God would resurrect the people that are needed to do what's needed, that God would resurrect a spirit of wanting and sharing the gospel, the spirit of going out and being a blessing to someone, knowing that they probably are not going to give back. We will watch God do some amazing things, and we will watch God bless. You want to be blessed? Do what God's called us to do. You will see it in your life. You'll see it in the church. You'll see it in the community. You'll see it at the workplace. You'll see it every part that you're involved in, because God has the bigger shovel. Amen? Father, I thank you this morning for everything from the start of worship, going back even to our Sunday school classes. God, you're blessing even through those classes, teaching us, discipling us, Lord God. And then as we enter in as a body of believers coming into the sanctuary to worship, God, if we would have the heart to be open, if we would share with you what's going on in our lives, you would bring healing. If we would, as a corporate body of believers, decide and choose today to be sensitive to the community needs, there are people all around us that need Christ. There are people all around us that need God's presence. There are people all around us that feel invisible, that need someone to just say, I care, and show them Jesus. May we be that. May we see fruit from our labor. May we see lives changed. And may we see the Lord lifted up and exalted. In Jesus' name, amen.